I wanted to talk about a little bit more about the what we see in the scripture about abiding. And I don't mean about that. What I'm talking about abiding is, what is it that's happening when we abide? What is it that the Lord is showing us, and how is it that He is touching us? And I've got several examples this morning. I'd like to just share some thoughts with you, maybe some things that I've looked at, been able to see a little bit differently than what I used to see. But I'll start with Genesis again, a good place to begin. And I already spoke about the creation. Last time I spoke, mentioned about the creation and how God provided things as He created. You know, we think about them as these are the things, the days of creation. The first day was this, and He created light, and He separated the light from the darkness. Those are all true, and it's all of great. It was done on purpose, and what I've seen in it is that these things are all there to encourage us to be with Him, to see Him, to know Him. And Genesis is not just a story. It's not a picture. It is truth. The Genesis account happened. And I'm going to also share, I'd like to share, out of Song of Solomon. That may be surprise you a little bit. But Song of Solomon has a picture of our dwelling together, the bride and the king are sharing together and abiding together. And I'd like to talk about those things a little bit. In Genesis chapter 1, God made everything needed for love, fellowship, life, growth. At the end of creation, at the end of the sixth day, He created man. And in one chapter 1, verse 31, God saw that all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was an evening and there was a morning, the sixth day. In chapter 2, the seventh day is the seventh day of creation. And this has been something that maybe you've wondered about over the years. What is this all about? That God, on the seventh day, He had completed all the work which He had done, and He rested on the seventh day. This is verse 2. He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. God wasn't tired. This is not resting, and this is the thing I want to encourage us in our thinking about our life with Him and dwelling with Him and abiding with Him. I believe the way to look at this is not that he is needing to relax or to recover as we do when after we've been busy. We need to rest. God doesn't need to rest. God could have continued on. I've heard Ed say He could have created as many universes and planets and galaxies and as he wanted, and never repeated a thing. Well, what I want to point out here is I believe that God, in verse 31 of chapter 1, I've already mentioned, read that, "Behold, it was very good." He'd seen all he'd created man in his own image, and behold, it was very good. I think what God's rest, and what's really the intent of the Sabbath, is not that we don't do anything, because he said the Sabbath was created, the Lord Jesus said, tells us, the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was not something that we were supposed to do. It is something that happens for us. We have rest. We have... God took the opportunity with, I believe, with man, because he just created man, together in fellowship, they looked and they saw and they embraced, and as I read in the opening, running on the hills of spices. The picture is marvelous of what he had done and what he intended to have fellowship with us, to fellowship with Adam. Adam had not sinned at that point. There was union between Adam and God, between man and God. And he went on to create the woman, and they had wonderful fellowship together. The two became one flesh. The Lord Jesus, God breathed life into the man, and he was raised from the dust into a living being, and I think I've wondered about how are we in the image of God, and I've heard people try to explain it. It hadn't really particularly satisfied my inquisitive mind, but I think the image of God is what he relates to. He made us so that he can relate to us, that we can abide together. I mean, there's no, we have no place with perfection because of our sin. But he has made perfection for us. And so we have an opportunity, we have his provision that we can be with him and see him and know him, and he will provide for us and keep us. And it says he wanted fellowship for Adam, and he created Eve, took one of Adam's ribs because it was not good, in verse 18 of chapter 2, not good for man to be alone, and he needs a helper suitable for him. Oh, and I wanted to go back. As he was seeking this helper, I've thought of it, I don't know how I've thought of it. I just sort of la-la-la'd it, I guess. But I think that in naming all of the animals, that Adam and God had a wonderful time. I believe they were rejoicing together. The angels, if they could see, they had to be rejoicing, seeing all the goodness, all the what God had created, what God had called into being. These are all things that Adam and he could share about and enjoy together. And God was revealing himself to Adam. He was revealing himself to Adam and to Eve when she was created, and or not created, when she was made from his rib. And so they enjoyed being together, and he gave names to all the animals. And in verse, in chapter 3, verse 8, Adam and Eve had fallen at this point, and he comes, and God came as he, we don't know how long this took place. How long did it take between, how much time passed? Did time pass? We know that there was day and night, so there must have been an account. You could account for how many days or years or seasons. Don't know how long it was that Adam and Eve and God shared together, walked together in the garden, being touched by the goodness of God, the greatness of God. And God was used to coming. It says in verse 3, 8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. This is a bad day. And yet God was there as he always was. He would come and he would be with Adam and they would share and walking together in the garden. And God, of course, was disappointed. Did he know? Of course he knew. But the point is, God had been walking with them. They had been seeing him, hearing him, seeing him in the creation that he had made, and the place that, and the provision, and the fruitfulness that they were able to enjoy. So God came to be with them that day, same as he had come before. He was purifying, he was perfecting them, and he continued. He came because his desire was to be with them, and they had failed, and they needed to be saved. And he doesn't just cast them out; he's determined to dwell with man, and man to be with him. And that there would be love and joy and peace, all the fruit of the Spirit was to, I believe, to come forth and to be seen. And they would have shared it together, seen it in him, and seen it in, and it would be become part of Adam and Eve. It would become their fruit of their lives. So God came to be with them. God intended, and I think this is historical. These are facts, not just picture. He wanted them to be with him. He wanted them to have fellowship with him. He wanted them to see him. And I had already mentioned previously in John, 1 John 3. I know you're not. You are familiar with it. Chapter 3, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God. Now we are children of God. And it has not appeared yet as yet, what we shall be, we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he, God, is, and Jesus is pure. So as we see him, and this is, I believe, part of this of dwelling with him is seeing him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to bring our questions, our thoughts, our needs, our hopes to him. And John writes here that everyone who has this hope that he will be like him, because when we see him as he is, everyone who has that hope purifies himself. Now, my understanding of that, I'll call it understanding, has been that we need to purify ourselves, but we can't. It is very clear to me that I can't. And he, because we are hoping in him, because we are believing that we will be made like him by fellowship with him, seeing him as he is, and being taken away with him into heaven, we will be purified. And he is doing that work in us. And so, I'd like to follow up and finish up today with going to the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. This is, I know a lot of you have studied this, and my take on this perhaps is not the same as what you have seen, but I believe that the Lord is giving us in this picture of life, our life with Jesus, and how he wants us to be with him, and that we will be cared for by him. And it's a very graphic picture. There's a lot here that is almost embarrassing to feel like you're intruding on a marriage, intimacy and privacy of a marriage. But we are, this is how he feels about us, I believe. There are three scriptures in here that are particularly, we've often quoted about my beloved in verse 2:16. My beloved is mine, she says, we say. My beloved is mine and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bethar. The Lord is revealing himself to her, to us. He shows us himself in creation. That when he declared a day of rest, when he took a day of rest to look at and enjoy that which he had made, which was very good, this is what he's seeing. He wants us to realize that he has who he is, and that he is mine and I am his. And he pastures his flock among the lilies. I don't quite understand. I don't know if sheep eat lilies or not. Maybe they eat anything. But it says it in Song of Solomon over and over again. He pastures his flock among the lilies is the phrase that's repeated. And I have to believe that it's delightful. It's good for the sheep. It's good for us as his sheep, as we are being cared for by him. And as it says, until the cool, my beloved is mine, I am his, he pastures his flock among the lilies until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag. This is life. This is life just exploding. And Jesus is, God is telling us, I believe, that we are loved, that we are cared for, that this is who he is. I am like a young stag on the mountains. I also wanted to go back to verse 8. Oh, here we go. This is again, he's describing himself. She is seeing him. When we gather together and he comes into and the Spirit comes in and dwells among us and leads us and guides us and stirs us up. And, you know, like Wayne today, a word just leaped out at him. That's the Spirit moving. It happens with all of us. We feel things. We see things. We hear things. And the Lord is moving. And he's describing himself. And we're able to enjoy that. In verse chapter 2, going back now to verse 8. Listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He is peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning the vines. And the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. He loves us so much, and he wants to embrace us, and he wants us to be to see him and to know he is there and to know he is moving and that we can depend upon him and trust him. We can smell the fragrance of the flowers that come forth. We can run and leap for joy. I'm going to turn over now to chapter 6 and again, one of the three, my beloved's is, I am my beloved's in verse 3, and my beloved is mine, he who pastures his flock among the lilies. We are learning, it is being revealed in us, in our inner being, in our spirit, in our, the part of us that's the image, in the image of God, is seeing him and knowing him as we walk with him, as we realize that we are his and he is ours. And again, he pastures his flock. He takes us to where things are wonderful and good. And he talks about throughout this chapter 6, she has, as we have, kind of gone astray at this point in the story. The Lord has gone away. She wouldn't, when he asked to come into her, she wouldn't allow it. And then she realized that probably she shouldn't have done that, and he was gone. And so she goes looking for him. And she realizes, she goes and I don't know if she went looking for advice or looking for help, and was she knocking on doors and asking, have you seen him? He has hidden himself from her. And suddenly she realizes, wait a minute, I know where he is. He is in his garden. He wants us to come to be with him. He wants us to find him. She made a mistake. She looked away and he was gone. But he's not keeping himself from her. He is just cloaking himself until she realizes who he is and how much and that he loves her and he wants to be with her, with us. There's a great deal of imagery here that is Solomon is trying to explain who he is and what he sees of the Lord. Turning over to chapter 7, verse 10, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. She has come to realize, we come to realize, that he really does love us and that he really does care, and that it's not that we are going to make ourselves better. We're not going to purify ourselves. We're not going to make ourselves clean. He is going to do it, and we can trust him to do it. And she has embraced that. She's realized that now. And this is, again, part of our dwelling with him. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. That is a tremendous revelation. And I hope you all have had that revealed, and even in greater amounts as you go walking along with the Lord, moving in living spiritually with him. Verse 11. Come, my beloved. This is her talking now, and our response, I think, is similar to this as we see him and know him. Come, my beloved. Let us go out into the country and let us spend the night in the villages. Let us rise early and go to the vineyards. Let us see whether the vine has budded and its blossoms have opened and whether the pomegranates are bloomed. And there I will give you my love. As we know him, as he reveals himself to us, we will know what is pleasing to him and what is a fragrant aroma and what is a pleasant embrace. He wants us to go with him. I think he wants us to look about us and see what he has done, and look among us and see what he has done and is doing. And he wants us to be captured by that, by what he is, who he is and what he has done. And so, in closing, I want to look at chapter 8, verse 5, familiar verse, I would think, to us, to most of us. You'll recognize it. Who is this? Bride is speaking. Actually, it's not the bride. It's the writer. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? That's us. We are coming up from the wilderness, leaning on our beloved. We have, as we know him, as we trust him, we realize that as my daughter is struggling with a disease that will take her life if the Lord doesn't intervene and change it, as there are wars and atrocities and things that happen in the world, the wilderness is a scary and terrible place. And the Lord wants us to walk with him. He wants us to come up out of the wilderness leaning on him, for he is trustworthy. He is able. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lion of Judah, the King of all creation. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you have revealed yourself to us, that you continue to reveal yourself to us. You help us to see you more and more clearly. You've given us over and over again in your word and in the testimony of your people, revealed yourself in the beauty and fullness that you are, that you have, that you want us to see and to participate in. We thank you and ask you, Lord, to come to us in the cool of the day that we might have fellowship with you. Love and joy and peace are in you and in you alone. Thank you, Lord. We ask you to reveal your glory in us. In your name we pray. Amen.